for cultivating progress across the South, for working to unconditionally improve the lives of all, and for the bold underwriting of every Gravy podcast, SFA thanks our visionary Louisville, Kentucky friends, Pam and Brooke Smith.
Festivals can convey meaning and values. They can knit together a community. Or commercial interests and overbearing sponsors and product placements can do what they do.
Hey, is that your fancy way of talking trash about funnel cakes?
It is.
The good festivals like the Hope Arkansas Watermelon Festival or Aiden, North Carolina's Collard Festival or the Kentuck Festival for the Arts in Northport, Alabama, they celebrate and illuminate place. And the bad ones, well, it's deep-fried Snickers bars.
Or Mars bars.
I'm Melissa Hall.
And I'm John T. Edge.
We're your hosts for Gravy.
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 A production of the Southern Foodways Alliance, Gravy tells new and complicated stories about the changing American South.
In this episode of Gravy, travel with us to Daquin, Arkansas, not far from the Oklahoma border,
where the town and a community college teamed up to celebrate the people of this very Latino place, with sopes and mangonadas served to a norteño accordion backbeat. Reporting on location, here's Betsy Shepherd.
Minutes after I arrived in Daquin, Arkansas, I met Jeff Brown, who turns out is the mayor. That's how small this town is.
Since we're radio and our listeners can't see what you're wearing, can you tell them about your t-shirt?
Oh, yes. 2019 Fiesta Fest Cinco de Mayo celebration.
And can you tell me a little bit about the city of Daquin?
We're a very diverse culture. Everybody blends in well. We get along. We're just all residents of Daquin, and you can see today that everybody is here to celebrate, and that's what it's about.
The festival takes place in downtown Daquin, which looks like a typical small southern town square. A Federalist-style courthouse is surrounded by red brick storefronts built around the turn of the century, when the town was founded as an outpost for the Kansas City Southern Railroad. Hand-painted signs advertise a butcher shop, a beauty salon, a cafe, and an ice cream store, giving the town a Norman Rockwell feel, with one distinct and obvious difference. Many of the signs are in Spanish. That's because about 60% of residents are Hispanic, making Daquin the only majority Latino town in Arkansas.
Anytime we have an event, we always got to make flyers in Spanish and English. When we go to the radio, we have to go to the Spanish and English radio. You know, it's who we are.
Daniel Martinez is the president of the local Chamber of Commerce. He was born in Daquin in 1990, shortly after his parents immigrated from Mexico. They were part of a wave of Mexican laborers who moved to the area for jobs, most of which were in local chicken processing plants.
I learned both cultures growing up, so I'm super blessed to have my Mexican food, enchiladas, tacos, and then turn around and have, you know, biscuits and gravy for breakfast. So I love that. Yeah, I couldn't get any better.
Daniel works with Erica Buenrostro in the administration at the local community college. With support from the school, Daniel and Erica organized the Cinco de Mayo event to raise money for scholarships and celebrate their Mexican heritage.
As a Latina, I want to make sure that I share our culture with everybody. We're integrating into this country. And so all we're doing is we're sharing our tradition, our dances, our great food, our music. And so that's what Fiesta Fest is all about, because eventually we're going to lose that tradition if we don't keep sharing it.
Daquin's multiculturalism sets it apart from much of Southwest Arkansas and has become a point of pride for many residents.
We're a very diverse community, so we love coming out and seeing what's going on both sides of the cultural spectrums here.
Nancy Hobbs passed out flyers for New Life Church, which has bilingual Sunday services. She was among hundreds who came out to the festival. On the other side of the square, a young norteño band took the stage, and Erica, who served as MC, introduced them.
Entonces, Código 870 is in the house. Gracias a Código 870.
Como me gustan los ojos de esa morena.
Hello, my name is Kenny Osura from Dequeen, Arkansas, born and raised. My band's name is Código 870, which means area code 870, represent Arkansas. We play Mexican music. That's what I grew up with, just from listening, you know, with my dad. We're a small little band from a small little town, but we're trying to show that, hey, even in small towns, there's big talent.
As the music played on, I headed to the food carts that lined the block. They were selling standard festival fare like hamburgers and hot dogs, as well as tacos, sopes, gorditas, tortas, gringas, and alambres. I went with chicken flautas from a food cart run by Martin Pellegrino and watched as he rolled the meat in a long skinny tortilla and deep fried it. Martin told me about other things he likes to cook.
Sopes, gorditas, chile rellenos, cochinita pibil.
That's a slow roasted pork dish.
Parrillas hawaianas.
Grilled meat with pineapple.
It's my dream, the open one restaurant over here in Dequeen.
I wish you luck.
Okay, thank
you. Did you enjoy yourself today? Did you enjoy the music?
Yeah, sure. Not only that, Mexican, I like all music. Paul McCartney is my favorite. And the Eagles. Hotel California, you know, I love them.
As I walked around eating my flautas, I watched children riding carnival rides and feeding goats in the petting zoo. Near a bounce house, I spotted a pair of siblings sharing a neon orange frozen treat.
I'm not sure what the name is, but it's good.
Describe the taste. It looks really interesting.
This piece is a mango on a stick, and then they just put some red, like, salsa.
And chili.
Chili on it.
It's really good.
That's Danny Lynn and Joseph. And the drink they were sharing is called a manganada, as I would later find out. It's a blend of orange sherbet and fresh slices of mango with swirls of chili powder and a fruity hot sauce called chamoy. Danny Lynn and Joseph's parents moved the family from Mexico to California and eventually to Dequeen for work.
I like how you can find your way around very easy since it's so small.
It was hard to get used to from Cali because Cali's like a fast life. And everything was a lot slower down here.
It's understandable how a teenager might grow restless in a town where church events and family gatherings are the main hubs of social life. With just 6,600 residents, Dequeen is small enough that everyone pretty much knows everyone. And Erica Buenrostro says that's what makes it such a great place to live.
That means that we're heard. It's easier, I think, to focus on the needs of the particular communities because we're small.
But Dequeen used to be even smaller and almost entirely white. The arrival of Mexican residents between 1990 and 2010 boosted the population by more than 40%. Before then, grocery stores didn't even carry Mexican products. Here again is Daniel Martinez.
There were no Hispanic businesses, so it was hard to buy tortillas. Walmart didn't carry tortillas or any of that stuff. There was a truck that came from the Mount Pleasant area. And early Saturday morning around 7 a.m., they'd set up kind of like a farmer's market. And you would have to show up early because they would sell out quickly. And they did bring the tortillas, tomatillos, anything you need to cook. A great homemade meal.
Now, Dequeen is the kind of place where you can order manganadas and watch Mexican folkloric dancing near the courthouse steps. And that's exactly what I did. Little kids in comically oversized cowboy hats paraded around the square. A troop of women with flower crowns and long ruffle skirts performed elegant, synchronized tap dances. And young boys in sombreros and girls in brightly colored gowns paired up for the traditional Mexican hat dance.
Next up, we explore the town to find out how it became a beacon of great eats and great music.
Spoiler alert, labor for the chicken plants, Dequeen's dominant industry, plays a huge role. But first,
Blacklock Cast Iron Cookware. Named for the original Lodge Cast Iron Foundry, Blacklock capitalizes on Lodge's heritage and long-standing reputation of innovation and quality. Blacklock Cookware models the thin, lightweight design of historic cast iron and celebrates the latest Lodge advancement, a triple season finish. This process gets you natural nonstick finish right out of the box, and those three layers of seasoning enhance the great flavor Lodge Cast Iron is known for. Each piece heats up and cools down fast for everyday cooking, and cleanup is even easier. As Lodge introduces Blacklock Cast Iron cookware, the beloved South Pittsburgh, Tennessee company leverages its past to look toward the future, toward what we can cook together. By the time you hear these words, Blacklock will be available online at blacklockfoundry.com. For their support of the Southern Foodways Alliance and our work, including this podcast, we thank them.
I stuck around to Queen after the Cinco de Mayo festival to sample more of the local cuisine and talk to the men and women making it. I ordered spicy cactus quesadillas and a pineapple agua fresca from a popular taqueria named El Paisano. The next morning, I had coffee and chilaquiles at the Duqueen Old Town Cafe, where Isa Montanez makes Philly cheesesteaks and hamburgers, as well as tortas and masa pastries called huaraches. In recent years, Duqueen has become something of a regional destination for Mexican food. Driving around town, I counted dozens of Mexican restaurants, several taco trucks, two tortillerias, and multiple Mexican bakeries and sweet shops.
The food's great here. I mean, they call it Little Mexico. It's literally, everything that's in Mexico is in Duqueen.
30-year-old Nelson Ramirez helps run his family's restaurant, La Chiquita, just a few blocks from the square.
Can I get a bowl of noodles?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
That's it.
What kind of tortillas?
Corn tortillas.
Okay. That's Nelson's mom, Maria, who originally came to Duqueen to work in a different sector of the food industry. In the early 80s, Maria and her husband, Vicencio, immigrated from Guerrero, a state on Mexico's Pacific coast where Acapulco is located. They got jobs at the Pilgrim's Pride factory in Duqueen, where 50 million chickens are hatched and processed each year for food service outlets like Wendy's, Walmart, and Costco. Tyson Chicken also operates two plants near town. Maria describes her early days in Arkansas, and Nelson translates.
When they first got here, you know, the first few years, they would work 90-plus hours a week. What they were getting paid was $3.25 an hour. She literally worked 12 years straight without taking a day off.
The chicken factories continued to hire workers from Guerrero throughout the 90s. Maria always loved to cook and started making tacos to sell to her coworkers at Pilgrim's. After more than a decade at the poultry plant, she and Vicencio struck out on their own to open Duqueen's first Mexican restaurant.
She knew it wasn't going to be easy, but she was happy because she was going to be her own boss. She knew that she probably would work more hours than she did at the plant, but at the end of the day, she knew it was going to be hers.
They cooked for their former coworkers, who came before and after shifts. And over time, La Chiquita drew the larger community of Duqueen and came to be known for its spicy pork tamales and menudo, a soup made from tripe. The restaurant just celebrated its 25th anniversary.
She's happy that she was like the first Mexican restaurant here that gave, you know, a pathway to other businesses. She showed them that she could do it, that anybody else could do it.
More restaurants followed, and so did Mexican grocery stores, churches, hair salons, and clothing stores. Mexican residents revitalized Duqueen's downtown, bought houses, and boosted the economy. According to Daniel Martinez, Hispanic-owned businesses now account for 40% of commerce in town.
What we have is like essential, like what like Hispanics want. Obviously, there's Walmart and stuff, but like there's stuff that Walmart can't carry or doesn't carry that we do. It's different.
25-year-old Omar Ortiz helps run his dad's butcher shop, La Nueva Carnicería. He says the Duqueen's local businesses succeed by offering products that consumers can't find anywhere else in the area.
What's the most popular thing that y'all sell out here?
It's called cecina.
The people say it's the place for the cecina.
That's Omar's dad, Israel Ortiz.
We get people from like up north, like Little Rock, Rogers, Oklahoma, Texas, Longview. They'll come here and strictly for like carnitas, chicharrón, and cecina, because, like I said, you know, where they're from, like, he gets it, like, as close as to originally, like, where they're from Mexico, like, the flavor's there, and so people, like, they go crazy for it. They'll come, and they'll take like 5 pounds, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure enough, I met a customer who'd driven 200 miles to buy cecina, which is a thin cut of cured beef.
What did you come from Dallas for?
We just know that they have good cecina, and we stop by and get it.
You can't find it in a big city like Dallas. Mm-mm.
It doesn't taste the same.
Omar took business management classes at the nearby community college, and he pays close attention to the local economy, so much so that his friends call him the economist. Omar says Daqueen was a boom town throughout the 90s and 2000s, when the poultry industry and manufacturing plants owned by Husqvarna and Frigidaire kept employment rates high. But in the last decade, those manufacturing plants relocated to other towns, which he says has hurt locally owned businesses.
Like a small business could sell like $1,000 a day, it went down to like 200, you know? And it's nothing, you know, that the people are fought for. It's just the leadership wasn't there. We have these like elderly people running the city, and they're running it the way they've always ran it for the past 40 years, which is no change whatsoever. And so now we have a new mayor. Some of the people in the Chamber of Commerce are Latinos, and they're business owners as well. You know, it's really nice.
Omar hopes that with new leadership and Latino representation, the local economy will turn around. But he says another factor is costing Daqueen: immigration and customs enforcement, also known as ICE. In 2001, a federal investigation revealed that Tyson executives had hired smugglers and used counterfeit documents to bring men and women from Mexico into the U.S. to work in its processing plants. Pilgrim's Pride also employed workers illegally using false documents. So many living in Daqueen are undocumented, though it's hard to give specific figures. Since 2016, ICE raids have increased in the area.
It's cost, you know, with everything that's going on. People do not want to go anywhere. They don't want to spend, you know. They're afraid. And that's not what Arkansas needs. You know, Arkansas has a really low population. And so you do something like that, and you're going to take that away from your own community.
By that, Omar means income taxes, business taxes, the labor force, the culture, and the food. La Chiquita has also seen a decline in customers since immigration policies have become more stringent.
You don't see as much Hispanics come out anymore. Everybody, is afraid now. There's been a ton of people from this town deported.
After I turned my recorder off, Nelson told me the issue hit very close to home. His dad's green card expired, and he was not able to get another one. Vicencio paid close to $100,000 in legal fees, but all of his appeals were denied. I asked if I could turn my recorder back on.
It's fine.
What happened to your dad?
October 2017, he was deported. I literally froze, you know, it's like when I got that call, you know, and he went back to a place that for him was not home anymore, because over half his life was spent in the United States. I mean, he has rental property here. He has his own home here, his business. So literally his whole life here, I mean, it was just taken away just in, you know, just a matter of seconds.
Vicencio's absence has created a huge strain on the Ramirez family. And Maria's decided to close Daqueen's flagship Mexican restaurant.
Has it been hard to run the restaurant since your husband was deported?
Sí, sí. Sí, eso es una también de las razones.
He played a big, big role in the restaurant, you know, running the restaurant, maintaining it. She said she always worked right aside with them, right along with them. They worked equally. They could work all day, you know, day and night, but she said that him being gone had left the big void.
Maria says it'll be painful to turn the lights out at La Chiquita, because she and her family clocked more hours together at the restaurant than they did at home. But she's proud to have fed people in Daqueen for the last 25 years. She's looking forward to spending more time with her kids and grandkids, and she's praying that her husband will someday be able to rejoin them. In spite of everything the Ramirez family has been through over the last couple years, Nelson says he still feels at home in Daqueen, maybe now more than ever.
I'm thankful for this town because this town is very open-minded, just like here recently with the Fiesta Fest. They make the Hispanic community feel welcome, you know, like this is their town, because it really is their town. I mean, I've been here 30 years, you know, born and raised here, and I mean, I wouldn't want to go any other place.
It is a privilege on my behalf to have been a citizen of the D Queen town for almost all my life. I have been here since I've been 4 years old, guys, and I love D Queen. This is my hometown. Esta es mi pueblo. Esta es mi ciudad. Con todo el respeto que los
Sevier County recently adopted the slogan, "Where Creeks and Culture Unite." The slogan is part of a locally sponsored campaign to promote tourism in the area. Omar thinks that's a great idea and hopes it'll bring more development to Daquin. But he says Hispanic culture is a big part of the economic pie. That's what will bring people to town.
I mean, where else in Arkansas or like down the south, you know, in a small town like this, can you go in the middle of nowhere and walk up to the courthouse and you're blasting, you know, norteñas? Where do you find that, you know? And it's like the white people are enjoying themselves. So that's really awesome.
Betsy Shepherd, who we know by way of the Oxford American and American Roots, reported and produced this episode of Gravy.
The weirdest food Betsy's ever eaten, hands down, we have this in an email for proof, is her grandmother's mayonnaise smeared a ham and vegetable aspic.
She doesn't recommend it.
Neither do we. I'm sorry, Grandma. Special thanks go to who, Melissa Hall?
We thank Wendell Patrick for Gravy's theme music, Jazar for our donor music. Managing editor for Gravy and all other SFA media is Sarah Camp Milam. Mary Beth Lassiter serves as our publisher.
Want to learn more about the work patterns of Arkansas and the way labor is transforming the cuisine of the natural state?
Visit southernfoodways.org to watch and listen to the talks from our Bentonville summer field trip. I recommend Angie Maxwell on the political complexities of Arkansas.
And I recommend Jay Jennings on achieving escape velocity.
I'm Melissa Hall.
I'm John T. Edge.
Thanks for letting us pour some gravy in your ear.
Or cheese dip.